Frustrated in his desire to become a statesman, Wilson enrolled at the recently established Johns Hopkins University, where he pursued his Ph.D. After graduating, he landed several teaching posts while he worked on his academic writing, specifically his widely acclaimed 800-page tome, The State. Wilson eventually returned to the one institution where he had known some social happiness, Princeton University, where he rose to president. Wilson's choice to head down an academic path should not be seen as an alternative to a political career. Rather, it was an alternative path to the career he always wanted. The sage of New Jersey was never a reluctant statesman. Not long after finishing The State, Wilson began moving beyond narrow academic writing in favor of more popular commentary, generally geared toward enhancing his political profile. High among his regular themes was the advocacy of progressive imperialism in order to subjugate and thereby elevate lesser races. He applauded the annexation of Puerto Rico and the Philippines. "They are children and we are men in these deep matters of government and justice," and regularly denounced what he called the anti-imperialist weepings and wailings that came out of Boston. It's a sign of how carefully he cultivated his political profile that 4 years before he reluctantly accepted the unsolicited gubernatorial nomination in New Jersey, Harper's Weekly had begun running the slogan, "For President Woodrow Wilson," on the cover of every issue. Indeed, from his earliest days as an undergraduate, the meek, homeschooled Wilson was infatuated with political power. And as is so common to intellectuals, he let his power worship infect his analysis. Lord Acton's famous observation that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, has long been misunderstood. Acton was not arguing that power causes powerful leaders to become corrupt, though he probably believed that too. Rather, he was noting that historians tend to forgive the powerful for transgressions they would never condone by the weak. Wilson is guilty on both counts. He not only fawned over great men, but, when he attained real power, was corrupted by it himself. Time and again, his sympathies came down on the side of great men who broke the traditional restraints on their power. Two of his biggest heroes were the Prussian Chancellor Otto von Bismarck and Abraham Lincoln. It might seem odd that someone who fervently believed that giving blacks the right to vote was the foundation of every evil in this country would celebrate Lincoln. But what appealed to Wilson about the great emancipator was Lincoln's ability to impose his will on the entire country. Lincoln was a centralizer, a modernizer, who used his power to forge a new, united nation. In other words, Wilson admired Lincoln's means, suspension of habeas corpus, the draft, and the campaigns of the radical Republicans after the war, far more than he liked his ends.